Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. Wait, hold on a minute. What's suffering? This last week we talked a lot about suffering at the youth gathering. And if you really dig into God's word, there's a lot about suffering in God's word. But I didn't sign up for that. That's not why I signed up to follow Jesus. I wanted a happy life and a peaceful life. I wanted joy all the time. I wanted a Joel Osteen type of church, where if you pray hard enough, you get what you want. What is this suffering all about? Suffering? Let's take a quick poll. Who in here loves suffering? Raise your hand. Nobody? Oh, well, okay. I do have counseling appointments available later for you, all right? There is a mental disorder for that. Okay, we'll work on that. Okay. But anyways, I sure don't like suffering. I've been through plenty of it. You've been through plenty of it. And nobody likes it. But yet, there it is. The black sheep in the room. The elephant in the room that we don't like to talk about. And there is St. Paul today, and he opens up his epistle lesson with a wonderful message of the gospel and how Jesus died and how Jesus rose for us. And then he goes on to say, but yet, I'm still suffering in the flesh for the faith. I'm fulfilling the faith, fulfilling what Jesus did in my flesh as I suffer. What in the world are you talking about? St. Paul, did you not drink your V8 this morning? Come on. Suffering? The reality is, suffering is part of life. Suffering is part of the Christian life. Did you notice the difference there? Why does suffering exist? It's an age-old question that philosophers have tried to answer. There's a book out that, Why Do Bad Things Happen to Good People? And all these people are just, I don't know, maybe they're illiterate, maybe they're ignorant, I don't know, because the answer is right there in Scripture. Suffering exists for several reasons. Number one, the day you become Christian, the day of your baptism, a big target is put on your back, and guess who that target is targeted by? The devil. After all, he doesn't have to do much hard work to reach the unbeliever. The unbeliever, he's already got them in their grasp. His work is to go after the believer, those who believe in Christ. If you read the book of Job, it's what the whole book of Job is about. As a matter of fact, if you want to know why suffering exists, I commend you the book of Job. Go home and read it. It's the reason it exists in our world today. Satan wants to attack us, to tear us away from our faith. In fact, in Peter it says, be careful, your enemy, who? Satan prowls around like a what? Roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Is he saying that to the unbeliever? No. He's saying that to those of us who believe in Jesus Christ. Satan doesn't want us to win the victory. Suffering exists because we live in a fallen world where Satan is still the prince of this world. Scripture reminds us of that over and over. Yet I don't know about you, but there's one little thing I do. Every time suffering comes into my life, I'm like, oh, gee, why am I suffering? Why is this happening to me? I never thought this would happen. Anybody else do that? Yeah, right. And we forget what Jesus says, right? I have come into this world so that you may have peace, but you will have trouble. Take heart. I give you peace as the world does not give peace. Suffering exists for another reason in this world. God allows it. We're not going to go much into this, what we call active and permissive will of God, but I will say this. God does not cause suffering or evil to happen. It's not part of his nature. He doesn't do it. But God does, as in he does in the book of Job, step back and allow suffering to happen. And one of the reasons he does that, do you know why? Well, as Grandma used to say, so we don't get too big for our britches. Right? St. Paul had a thorn in his flesh. You remember that? And three times he pleaded. And what did he say to God? Take this thorn away. I don't want it anymore. I don't like suffering. And what did God say? Dear St. Paul. Wait, he probably didn't say St. Paul at that time. But dear St. Paul, no, I will not remove it. Because my grace is sufficient for you. It is in suffering where we learn about the grace of God, the overwhelming grace that saves us, that rescues us, that strengthens us, that loves us, that forgives us, that mends us, that puts us back together. And then he says this, and my strength is made perfect in your weakness. How beautiful is that? And remember when the little kids, we used to sing it with me. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. You there, you got that, right? We're weak, but he is strong. There's gospel in that message. Because through our suffering and our weakness, we don't have to fight. We surrender to God and he takes care of all of it for us. And through that suffering, through those trials, through those tribulations, God grows closer to us. And as St. James says, we draw closer to God. And in those trials and tribulations, our faith grows. Our faith is strengthened. And what happens is the world around us begins to see Jesus at work in us. It begins to see, wait a minute, I've suffered with that before. I've had a loved one die. I've been diagnosed with cancer. I've had a child die. I've had this happen. And they're handling it this way. What do they have that I'm missing? And what happens is they're drawn closer to you as you are able to share the love of Jesus with them, as God's strength is made perfect in your weakness. And his beauty shines in your life as he draws you closer to tell you how much you are loved and forgiven. And suffering happens so that we may grow strong. Now, I'm not one of these CrossFit people. Personally, I think those people are crazy. If you're a CrossFit person, I love you. God bless you. But when I look at CrossFit people, I think, oh my God, what are they doing to their bodies? I've known several CrossFit people have had to have knee replacements and other replacements, and I'm thinking, why do you do that? I mean, I don't even run. If you see me running, you better run too. This is reality. But I admire people who can do that and have the endurance to do that. Thank God for you. You motivate me. You motivate me to lift a beer and cheers for you. But you know when you work out, which I have before, you know you get sore? Have you ever experienced that? Your muscles get sore, they get tired, they get kind of shaky. Have you ever experienced that after you've lifted weights and stuff? Yeah, right? Well, same thing happens as we go through suffering. It's the process of growing and getting stronger in our faith. Through that, our faith muscles are getting stronger. The Holy Spirit is making us more like Jesus in our world so that people may see Jesus in us. We as Christians know that our life will be one of hardship, struggle, and suffering. Satan attacks us. There is discipline in our world. Nobody likes discipline. Who likes discipline? I sure don't. If you do like discipline, don't raise your hand, okay? But if you like discipline, who does? But sometimes there are consequences for our actions, right? I mean, if we speed and we get caught and we get a ticket, nobody likes getting a ticket. Again, if you do, I have counseling appointments available. But if you get a ticket, you have to pay that. There are consequences. We're being disciplined and taught how to live in this world. When we break one of the Ten Commandments, we are disciplined with consequences to those. That's not God putting consequences in our lives. That's sin putting consequences in our lives for the wrong actions we have done. But discipline causes us to grow stronger. Just like when we work out and we discipline the body and we grow muscles like this. Yes, you don't see those. And we grow stronger in our faith and our health. We grow stronger in our need for God. We grow stronger in the reality that because Jesus suffered, we too will suffer. In Matthew 16, there is something that Jesus says that we often forget. But we need to hear this. Jesus says, take up your cross and what did Jesus' cross lead to? Death. When he said that, what do you think he meant our cross would lead to? Suffering and death. Now, that's not something to be feared. Because God's grace is with us. And this is the great message of the gospel. It's not something to be afraid of. Because Jesus died on that cross and because Jesus rose from the tomb, he promises he is with us. And he has promised us that he will walk with us side by side every step of the way. He has promised to make his strength perfect in our weakness. He has promised, just like in the footprints in the sand, that there will be times in our life where he will carry us because we can't walk that journey on our own. He has promised us that he will feed and nourish and sustain us with word and sacrifice. He has promised that he will give us peace that this world cannot give us. He has promised that he will never leave our side. He has promised that our sins are forgiven. He has promised that nothing can separate us from him, not even life or death. He has promised us that there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And even though we live in this world that is fallen, where suffering exists, and we are reminded of the paradox that we live in every day as Christians, that we are sinners and we are saints at the same time. We are saints on our way to heaven, and we are already saints, forgiven, and completely have eternal life. But because we're in this world, we're still sinners. And we will experience the consequences of this world until that great day that Jesus calls us home, that there will be trouble. But oh, how wonderful it will be on that day when we close our eyes in this world and open them in the kingdom of heaven, where Jesus will wipe away every tear, where there'll be no more suffering, where there'll be no more hardship, where there'll be no more trial, but nothing but pure hope and joy and worship around the throne of the Lamb of God forever and ever in golden streets with crystal fountains, as Jesus loves us and welcomes us to be with him for eternity, and we see our loved ones again. Oh, the great reward, St. Paul says, fight the good fight, run the race with endurance, for the crown of victory is already yours. The suffering we endure in this world is for one purpose and one purpose only, so that the world around us may see Jesus in us. But so often it's easy to get into that woe is me state. And so often it's easy to get into that state, well, my faith must not be strong enough, or I must have done something wrong, because that's where Satan wants us to be. But when we stand rejoicing in our suffering, giving praise to God, heaven rejoices and heaven and hell collapses, because people see Jesus Christ. There's one little bit of another reason that we go through this suffering, and it's called sanctification. For those of you who are in my advanced Bible study on Wednesdays, that would be my ladies, that's what they call it, my advanced Bible study. What is that word? What is sanctification? The process of becoming holy, of becoming set apart, of being more like Jesus. And Luther has this process all laid out for us, nice and neat. The first thing he uses is a Latin term called meditatio. And meditatio, what does that sound like? Meditation, and that's what it is. Part of the sanctified life, part of our life in Christ, part of our life that lives in this world of suffering, is going back to God in worship and in word and in meditation, spending our time connected to Jesus, being fed and nourished by his word with the Holy Spirit. The next part of this journey he calls oratio. Anybody know what that kind of sounds like? Orate, to talk, right? What do you think that is? Prayer, conversation with God. That's part of our life. It's part of our sanctification, talking with God. Hey, buddy, how are you doing today? It's nice to talk to you. I'm glad we have some time to set apart. It doesn't have to be, dear heavenly, most gracious Father of heaven and earth. No. What a friend we have in Jesus, right? We walked in the garden together, right? And he talked with me and he walked with me. Hey, Jesus, how are you doing today? Need to talk to you. Simply talking with Jesus. The last part, Luther used a Latin word that was translated into the German that's almost impossible to translate, but it's tentatio. And you guess what that means or sounds like? Temptation, struggle, hardship. That's part of our sanctified life. You see, we only grow in our likeness to Christ when we experience the trials and troubles of this world. They will come. But that's when we go back to meditation and prayer, to hang out with God, to be fed by Him, to be re-nourished by Him, to be forgiven by Him, to be loved by Him, to be held by Him, to be hugged by Him, to have grace poured out into us abundantly so that we can go back out into the world and suffer again for the name of Jesus, so that every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, because that's truly what it is all about. We suffer in this world so that people may know Jesus and see Him in and through our lives. Through our struggles, God draws us closer to Him, and that is our pure gospel message. St. Paul calls us in our lesson today to rejoice in our suffering. You know what? I don't like that. I'm not one to say, yay, or hold up the big foam finger. Woohoo, suffering. Any of you? No. But St. Paul says, rejoice in your suffering. Why would he say such a thing? Rejoice in your suffering because the kingdom of heaven is yours. Rejoice in your suffering because the Beatitudes tell us you are blessed when you suffer. Rejoice in your suffering because it means you are growing more into the likeness of Christ and Satan is afraid of you. Have you ever thought about that? When you suffer, Satan's attacking you because he's a coward. He's afraid of you. He doesn't want you out there loving people and telling them about Jesus. Rejoice in your suffering because Satan is a coward and he is running and fleeing from you. That's a pretty powerful thought, isn't it? We rejoice in our sufferings every day. Because our sufferings produce perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And St. Paul says hope can never disappoint us because hope is the kingdom of God that is waiting for us in eternal life in heaven. Struggling, suffering, hardship, it is all a needed and important part of our Christian faith. I'd like to share this with you. I found it the other day online. Nothing happens until the pain of remaining the same outweighs the pain of change. God does not call us to remain the same, my brothers and sisters. I know we Lutherans don't like change. I often wonder if Lutherans change their underwear, but that's another sermon for another day. We don't like change. But when the pain of remaining the same overwhelms us, we allow God to do His work, and His work is mighty and beautiful, and we grow from being a caterpillar to the most beautiful butterfly in the entire world, a butterfly of hope, of peace, and of love, bearing the message of Jesus Christ to our friends, to our coworkers, to our fellow students, and to everyone we meet. In the name of Jesus, amen.